Hi, my name is Lois Ahrens, and I'm the director and founder of the Real Cost of Prisons Project. The Real Cost of Prisons Project began in late 2000, early 2001, and originally it started as an effort to create materials, different kinds of materials to strengthen the organizing capacity of people who were or are prison activists or anti-prison activists, people that were working to change drug policy, people that were working against the building of new prisons and jails, and people that were or are working to limit the and find alternatives for women going to prison and jail. So that's how it started. And over the last 10 years or so, it's evolved into doing many other things. But that was the original idea of it.
One of the things that came out of this project is a comic or a set of comics, the collection being titled The Real Cost of Prisons Comics. These comics were distributed in two prisons. Can you talk about the reaction of people in and outside of the prison system to the comics?
Well, originally when they were first published, which was in 2005, when the comic books were first published, three different comic books, we printed 5,000 copies of them. And basically, as soon as they were printed, we realized that we had way, way, way too few comic books. And at this point, we've printed 135,000 of the comic books. And there are maybe 10,000 of those, maybe less, 5,000 of the three comic books left. So a lot of them, 125,000, 130,000 of them have been distributed over the years. And some of them, tens of thousands of them, have gone to prisoners throughout the United States and people in prisons and people in jails. And then tens of thousands others have gone to people who are doing organizing work, community-based organizing work, to use them to educate people in their communities more, to support their organizing work. Sometimes they've been used for high school students, especially students or even junior high school students whose parents or they themselves are experiencing very intense policing, or many of the parents of these kids or teenagers are in prison. And so over the years, they've been used in literally thousands of different ways by different people. In terms of sending them to prisons, generally the way it works, although not always, is individual prisoners find out about the comics. Either they read about them in resource guides, or they see somebody else and, you know, the next cell has them, and then they request them. And so I send them a set of each of the comic books and also materials for organizations called Books Through Bars kinds of organizations, which send free books to prisoners. And actually, a lot of the comic books have been distributed through various Books Through Bars organizations around the country. So I would send them maybe a box of 400, and then when people request specific things, like maybe the war on drugs, they'll send them a comic book. But most of them to prisoners just go in an envelope to the prisoner.
I know that since the comics were published, some of the rules that are discussed in the comics have actually changed. For instance, the crack versus cocaine. Can you speak to other such changes that have taken place or that are in motion to take place? Maybe not because of this comic itself, but because of the discussion that gets created with this type of literature that creates a different dialogue around the issues.
There have been changes in sentencing laws in the United States since 2005. One is the crack versus cocaine sentencing disparity that has been dropped significantly from 100 to 1 penalty to 1 to 18 penalty. So that there should be complete parity in terms of sentencing between crack and cocaine because they're the same drug. Nonetheless, these laws were put into effect in the United States in this sort of hysteria around the evil of crack, and based on basically junk science that crack was so much worse for people than cocaine. And so it's taken many, many, many years to change this law, and there still isn't parity one-to-one. But it's being reduced. And the other thing that has happened is that when this sentencing was reduced, the second phase of it was that people who were sentenced under this extreme difference, it became retroactive. And so just recently, a couple of months ago, people were starting to be released. 3,000 people were starting. This was in the federal system. There's a federal system. In the United States, I don't know what it is in Canada, but in the United States, there are federal prisons, there are state prisons, and then there are also jails. There are these three different, completely separate systems. So people in the federal system were released. About 3,000 people were released, and then other people will have their sentences shortened. So that's a change since the comic books have been published. The other big change is the first set of mandatory drug laws, mandatory sentences for drugs in the United States were in New York. They were called the Rockefeller Drug Laws, and people worked in New York State for many, many years also to try to make sentencing more in line with who the person actually is and what the amount of drugs that they have are, and being able to look at the conditions of why it was somebody, who that individual is, whether it was the first time they were ever found with drugs or the 20th time that they were ever found guilty of possessing drugs or selling drugs. Under the Rockefeller drug laws, none of that was relevant. A judge just looked at the amount of drug and then on a grid, and then the number of years that person would get, and the conditions of and the person, nothing had any relevance to the sentence. This then, because it was such a bad idea, spread throughout the United States. And so many parts of the Rockefeller drug laws were overturned over a period of years since 2005. And many people have been released, and the sentencing has been changed so much so that a number of prisons in New York State have closed due to lack of prisoners sentenced under the Rockefeller drug laws. So those are two big drug-related sentencing changes in the United States since those comic books were published. The majority of other things that are in those comic books, which are about the war on drugs, which are about policing and how policing takes place and in what communities and who the targets of who the targets of policing are, who has access to lawyers, who has access to counseling rather than jail, all of that being race-based. None of that has changed in the United States. None of that at all has changed in the United States. I mean, there are these changes, but a lot of it is, you know, just as relevant as it was when we made them. And certainly the number of people who are incarcerated in the United States hasn't gone down. The one thing I do want to mention is people want to see what these comic books are like. They're online. People can go to the Real Cost of Prisons Project and click on comic books, and you can see them and read them online.
Thank you for that. It's unfortunate to hear you talk about the unchanging nature of the climate in the States, because one of the questions I was hoping to address or get your opinion on is that we're currently debating a similar type of legislation that would see the building of more prisons and mass incarceration, and that would have a number of unfortunate consequences. And Texas actually has been quite critical of the approval of such a bill because of the experience that it has had with the same type of legislation. So I was hoping that was a sign that there was a shift, as slow or as small as it might have been, in the climate around the prison industrial complex in the United States.
Well, it's the thing about prisons is most of the there's the federal prison system, which is called the Bureau of Prisons, and then there are all of these. Every state has their own prison system. And they're regulated by the individual state legislature, and the individual state legislatures pass their own laws, and then even within that, individual counties within states have jails. There's no way to make sort of this kind of sweeping generalization about how things are going in the country, because it's so peculiar. Because each state has, and each state legislature has so much power over criminal justice policy.
Interesting. I'd like to go back and talk a bit about the other work that the Real Cost of Prisons Project does.
Okay. One of the things that we do is we have this website, which I encourage people to go to if they want to find out, you know, more about what's going on in the United States, and as an example of what Canada should not be doing. And so there's a lot of research that's posted on the website. There's a lot of links to other organizations and what they're doing. So a way for people to find out what's going on within the country and connect to other people and use it as a resource. So that's one thing. We also have a daily sort of news blog just of news that's related to, so that's one thing, and those two things get very heavily used. But one of the other things that I actually started a number of years ago, because I get so many requests from prisoners for a comic, one of the outgrowths of that was just beginning correspondences with various prisoners around the country. And as it turns out, some of those prisoners sometimes wrote and said, I draw comics, you know, would you like to see them? And I said, yes. And so I created this two sections of the website, which is Comics from Inside and Writing from Prison. The thing about both of those is they're not neither the comics nor the writing. It's about people's individual cases. They're all political writing and political comics. And so that's the thing that they have in common about the experience or the analysis of what's going on in the prison system. I mean, one thing I do want to say about the writing and the prison and the comics is it's really that's a really important thing to me, because it gives people a way to speak to people outside of prison, for prisoners to actually have a voice. And so that's one of the ways that the Real Cost of Prisons has really changed over the years, is there's more and more emphasis on giving prisoners materials and also the ability to have their own voice and share that with people who aren't in prison.